KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, we have light rain, 50 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for periods of showers and possible thunderstorms later this afternoon. None of those are expected to be severe, though. We'll have a high around 53. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Hummel Insurance, your Western Iowa Mutual Insurance Association agent in Oakland. State auditors are investigating a Southwest Iowa County Sheriff's Office that swapped seized weapons to a firearms dealer in exchange for gun parts. The Des Moines Register reports the deal may violate a state law against selling, trading, or giving away guns and ammo seized during investigations. County records show the Fremont County Sheriff's Office traded away as many as 47 shotguns, 36 rifles, and 27 handguns. Sheriff Kevin Astrup told the newspaper that he'd done so as a way to augment his department's arsenal without incurring any cost for taxpayers. Representatives for the Iowa Public Safety Department and Attorney General's Office say their departments aren't investigating the swap. News time is 9:01.
How do you want your money to work for you and your beneficiaries? Taxable, tax-deferred, or tax-free? Hi, this is Craig Hummel. You know, one of the biggest challenges facing baby boomers is how to transfer our assets to the next generation without Uncle Sam taking out their pound of flesh. Call Hummel Insurance Services and discover how you can transfer your wealth to your spouse or the next generation tax-free with Increasing Whole Life from EMC National Life Insurance Company. Call 1-800-482-6426 or locally at 482-6424. Increasing Whole Life Insurance is issued by EMC National Life Company, Urbandale, Iowa, and is policy form LP300. The increasing death benefit is not guaranteed until declared. The provisions may vary or be unavailable in some states. See policy for complete details. Or visit us online at HummelIns.com.
A drop in federal donations has left Iowa food banks low on supplies and hopeful the legislature will approve funding for those organizations. Food bank officials say U.S. Department of Agriculture donations to organizations in Iowa and parts of Nebraska are more than 1 million pounds less than in previous years. Linda Scheid, executive director of the Siouxland Food Bank in Sioux City, said their supplies are critically low. Her food bank serves 11 counties, including three in Nebraska. The Iowa Senate has approved a bill that provides $2 million to the Iowa Food Bank Association, but some Republicans oppose the funding. Boone Senator Jerry Bain says the state shouldn't be in the grocery business. Last year, Republican Governor Terry Branstad vetoed a bill, including $500,000 in aid to food banks. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin has formally endorsed Congressman Bruce Braley's bid for the U.S. Senate. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Harkin announced in late January that he would not seek re-election in 2014 and did not have a favorite to succeed him. But this past weekend, Harkin announced Bruce Braley has emerged as the Democratic Party's candidate for the U.S. Senate. Braley was first elected to Congress in 2006, but Braley had to face two Democrats in a primary and finished just 860 votes ahead of his closest competitor.
I've lived through a tough primary fight, and nobody likes to go through them. So I am excited about the possibility of clearing the primary.
Harkin told reporters the door had closed for other competitors.
I just want to make it clear that we Democrats have our candidate for the United States Senate. Bruce Braley is our candidate. We are united behind him.
The two men appeared before about 150 supporters in Des Moines Saturday afternoon to publicly seal the deal.
Our next United States Senator has to be and will be Congressman Bruce Braley.
Several Republicans have said they are considering a run for the U.S. Senate, but a Republican candidate has yet to emerge. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Elsewhere in state news, a 27-year-old man has been charged with a hate crime and the beating of another man outside of a Waterloo bar. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier reports that Mitchell Baruth was arrested on Friday on a warrant for misdemeanor assault in violation of individual rights. Court records say Baruth had seen two men kiss in the bar on March 23rd and followed one of them outside. The records say Baruth tackled him in the parking lot and beat him while yelling homophobic slurs. The hate crime circumstances elevate the charge to an aggravated misdemeanor, which is punishable by up to 2 years in prison. Officials at the Taylor County Sheriff's Office on Sunday released information about a single-vehicle personal injury accident that happened 1 week earlier. Authorities said just after 1 p.m. on April 14th, a van driven by Joshua Joel Moses of Clarinda and owned by Great Plains Investments went out of control and crashed near 295th Street. The 2002 Dodge Caravan was traveling north on Colt Avenue when, for reasons unknown, it veered to the left, crossing the center line and into the left ditch. Officials say when Moses failed to apply the brakes, the van continued through the ditch and struck a field drive. The impact launched the van into the air, causing it to take out a utility pole guy wire and snapping the pole. When the van hit the ground, it drove itself into the base or embankment of 295th Street, causing damage to the road. The vehicle finally came to rest with its front tires on the edge of 295th Street and rear tires in the south ditch. The van was a total loss. Moses was transported to the Clarinda Regional Health Center by Clarinda Medic 1 for treatment of his injuries. Alcohol is believed to be a factor in the accident, which remains under investigation. The Taylor County Sheriff's Office, Newmarket Fire and Rescue, Clarinda Medic, Clarinda Fire, Clarinda Police Department, Taylor County Secondary Roads, and United Electric all assisted at the scene of that crash. One person died during a single-vehicle accident over the weekend in Monona County. The State Patrol says the accident happened around 1:10 a.m. Saturday. The vehicle was traveling southbound on Highway 141 just south of Pecan Avenue when the driver failed to negotiate the curb and drove onto the right shoulder. The driver then overcorrected and lost control of the vehicle, crossing both lanes of traffic. The vehicle then entered the east ditch and rolled several times. The driver's name has not yet been released, and the crash remains under investigation. Two people were arrested Sunday evening on separate charges in Red Oak. According to Red Oak Police, 33-year-old Melissa Sue Shirley of Red Oak was arrested in the vicinity of East Coolbaugh and Towel Streets at around 6:10 p.m. for driving while suspended, operating a motor vehicle without a registration, and for failure to show proof of valid insurance. The woman was released from custody on a citation. And at around 9 p.m. Sunday, 50-year-old David Lawrence Howe of Red Oak was arrested on public intoxication charge. Howe, who was taken into custody in the 400 block of East Coolbaugh Street, was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond, pending an appearance before the magistrate. The Red Oak Police Department reported over the weekend the arrest on Saturday of 33-year-old David Daniel Wells of Red Oak. Wells was stopped at around 4:51 p.m. driving a 1985 Chevy Camaro and was arrested for driving while suspended and having no insurance. He was booked into the Montgomery County Jail on $566 bond. The Fremont County Sheriff's Department reports over the weekend the arrest of an Omaha man early Friday morning. Officers responded to a call of an irrigation pivot alarm on Railroad Avenue in Fremont County at about 12:44 a.m. Friday. Deputies discovered a Chevy van that was reported stolen out of Omaha and proceeded to conduct an extensive search of the area. The search resulted in the arrest of 53-year-old Thomas Allen DeLoa of Omaha on two counts of second-degree theft. DeLoa was being held on $10,000 bond, and the case remains under investigation. Officials say other arrests are possible. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office was assisted by the Iowa State Patrol and the Shenandoah Police Department's K-9 unit. The Atlantic School District Board of Education will hold a work session this evening at the high school, during which they'll accept petitions calling for a bond referendum. As we mentioned during a report last Monday, Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein said school administrators were circulating a petition trying to get 400 signatures, which will enable the election to take place on June 25th with regard to an $11 million bond issue for capital improvement projects within the district. Amstein said the expansion and improvements are needed because of both the current and Department of Education projected increases in enrollments. He said for the past few years, the projected enrollment for kindergarten-aged students has consistently increased and is expected to continue to do so. The board tonight will act on a resolution ordering the special election on the issuance of $11 million in general obligation school bonds. And in other business, the Atlantic School Board will hear from the Schuler and Washington Schools' building leadership teams and hear a presentation regarding district finances from Gary Sinclair, the senior financial advisor with PMA Financial Network. Board meeting begins at 7:30 p.m. at the Atlantic High School Media Center. And taking a look now at world headlines, Bostonians are back at work and at school for the first time since a dramatic week came to an even more dramatic end on Friday. Authorities had made the unprecedented request that residents stay home during the manhunt for Jokhar Tsarnaev, the surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombings. He was found Friday evening hiding in a boat covered by a tarp, hours after his older brother was killed during a violent getaway attempt. Traffic has been heavy on the major arteries into Boston today. Parents are dropping their children off at schools, some for the first time since last Monday's bombings that killed three people. The aunt of an elder Boston bombing suspect says he struggled to find himself while trying to reconnect with his Chechen identity on a trip to Russia last year. The aunt says that Tamerlan Sanaryev seemed to be more American than Chechen and didn't fit into the Islamic world. Investigators are focusing on the 6 months Sanaryev spent last year in southern Russia, where he stayed with his father for at least part of the time. The Grand River has peaked at more than 2 feet over flood stage in Grand Rapids, Michigan, reaching a level of nearly 22 feet. Downtown buildings are protected by sandbags filled and stacked by hundreds of volunteers. Grand Rapids is among the Midwestern communities being threatened by spring flooding from record high river levels. Some towns along the Mississippi River in Illinois have seen water as much as 12 feet above flood stage. After searching an apartment complex, police in a community south of Seattle say there are no more victims or suspects in a shooting that left five people dead. The dead include a man who was shot by police. Authorities say there is no threat to the public, and they have not yet said what led to the Sunday night shooting. Stocks are opening little changed on Wall Street this morning as investors get ready for earnings news from major U.S. companies. Nearly one-third of the 30 companies in the Dow Jones Industrial Average report first quarter results this week. Toymaker Hasbro and the energy company Halliburton turned in results that beat the forecasts of Wall Street analysts, and their stocks rose. Caterpillar, a heavy equipment maker, slipped after reporting that a slowdown in mining business hurt its results. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
How do you want your money to work for you and your beneficiaries? Taxable, tax-deferred, or tax-free? Hi, this is Craig Hummel. You know, one of the biggest challenges facing baby boomers is how to transfer our assets to the next generation without Uncle Sam taking out their pound of flesh. Call Hummel Insurance Services and discover how you can transfer your wealth to your spouse or the next generation tax-free with Increasing Whole Life from EMC National Life Insurance Company. Call 1-800-482-6426 or locally at 482-6424. Increasing Whole Life Insurance is issued by EMC National Life Company, Urbandale, Iowa, and is policy form LP300. The increasing death benefit is not guaranteed until declared. The provisions may vary or be unavailable in some states. See policy for complete details. Or visit us online at HummelIns.com.
In the funeral announcements, Dean Hess, age 66, of Oakland, has died. Funeral services for Dean Hess will be today at 2 o'clock at the Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson. Teresa Langston, age 73, of Stewart, died Thursday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A memorial service for Teresa Langston will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Leslie Vorm, age 90, of Atlantic, died Saturday at Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Memorial services for Les Vorm will be Wednesday at 11 o'clock at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Auchinberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Dean Linden, age 62, of Harlan, died Thursday at his home. Graveside services for Dean Linden will be Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Harlan Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Merritt Bauer, age 95, of Bridgewater, died Sunday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Merritt Bauer are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Steve Kahn, age 65, of Lewis, died this morning. Services for Steve Kahn are currently pending. Auchinberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. And William Harbach, age 95, of Templeton, died Sunday at Sunnybrook Assisted Living in Carroll. Funeral services for William Harbach are pending. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Hummel Insurance. For all of your insurance needs, give Craig and the gang a call today at the Hummel Insurance Agency in Oakland.